You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy day after the election, everybody. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling as good as I have felt since November 4th, I have to say. We have a great lineup of guests this afternoon to celebrate with all of us, to celebrate Wisconsin saying, we're not for sale. We don't need a billionaire overlord to tell us who to elect to our Supreme Court and so much more, despite the Trump tariff terror that is coming this afternoon. I'll talk more about that, but I want to bring on my very first special guest, my friend and yours, City of Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Mr. Mayor, and it's a good day, is it not?
It's a good day, Maggie, and I'm happy to be back with you.
Wonderful to have you, Mr. Mayor. It was a historic day yesterday for a number of reasons, and we're going to talk a little bit about Senator Booker's historic address on the floor of the Senate yesterday and what a bookmark that is. But let's start with this incredible election result, not in just one election, in two elections here in the state of Wisconsin. Let's begin with the Supreme Court race. Pretty remarkable turnout. Every county moving to the left by large digits in the state of Wisconsin. What was your initial reaction as the election was being called in under an hour last evening, Mr. Mayor?
I was impressed. I was happy. I was relieved for the state of Wisconsin. I was relieved that voters in this state, I mean, they saw through exactly what was being peddled to them by the president and by Elon Musk. The president says that we should send all these issues back to the states, let the Supreme Courts and states resolve, you know, whatever issues. And then he turns around and unleashes Elon Musk to back up the Brinks truck and unload ungodly amounts of money into these what typically have been sleepy, you know, nonpartisan, actually nonpartisan affairs. And the people of Wisconsin stood up and said, no, we don't want it. We're not listening to it. We're not buying it. We will choose who our Supreme Court justice will be. And they selected by a pretty wide margin, Wisconsin standards, Susan Crawford to be the next justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So I'm very proud of the voters in the state of Wisconsin and really, really proud of the voters in the city of Milwaukee who stepped up yesterday and throughout the early voting period in order to make sure that Susan Crawford was elected to be our next justice.
Yeah, I was absolutely flabbergasted when the call was made, when the outcome was called less than an hour after polls closed. And I was incredibly proud of Milwaukee voters in particular, your constituents, Mr. Mayor, showing up in such numbers, way blowing past all turnout expectations that in a few polling places, they actually ran out of ballots, had to go get more ballots. People were hanging out in line, waiting to ensure that their voice was heard through our democratic processes. This wasn't just a win. This was a double-digit butt-kicking by Susan Crawford. And I think it's interesting in the aftermath, both today and as we move forward, we see Elon Musk saying, oh, I knew we were going to lose all of this nonsense. Just so that everybody recalls, he in with respect to this race, called it an election that, quote, might decide the future of America and Western civilization. He tweeted dozens of times in the last week about the election, he being Elon Musk here. He did a number of tele-rallies, virtual rallies, on behalf of Brad Schimmel. He did a primetime Fox News interview just this week to urge people to get out and vote. He handed out $2 million checks, not to random people, you know, but that's a story for another day. And of course, put on that cheesehead in a Green Bay rally this past Sunday. Yeah, he thought they were going to win. I don't know. The rewriting of history, which makes the double-digit win by Susan Crawford, I think, all the more important. What do you think this message is saying to regular middle-class voters who may have voted for Donald Trump? What do you think this is saying about the Democratic Party and its energy in this moment?
Well, in addition to all those things that Elon Musk did, he also spent $26 million. So if he, you know, thinks that we're going to lose,
of course that,
he's going to invest $26 million, more money than, you know, any of us will probably see sitting at one time for ourselves in our lifetimes. Like, that's a lot of money. That's quite an investment for somebody who doesn't think you're going to win an election. But I think what it signals to voters in Wisconsin, what it signals certainly, I think, to Donald Trump and to the MAGA voters or the MAGA movement in Wisconsin, and not just in Wisconsin, because this was really a national event. Folks from all across the country were watching what was going to happen in the Supreme Court race here in the state of Wisconsin. It shows that Donald Trump and Elon Musk and their policies, they're not very popular. They've lost steam. Yes, Donald Trump was reelected or elected president again in November, but since he's taken office, he's taken some steps that people across the state of Wisconsin, people across the United States don't agree with. I mean, you see that bearing out with the president's approval ratings as it relates to his handling of the economy, where nearly 6 in 10 Americans disapprove of the way that he's handling his job as it relates to the economy. I mean, later on today, we're going to be slapping tariffs, the United States will be, on our closest partners, Canada, Mexico, other places across the world. And I think a lot of people don't understand just how intertwined our economies are. Just this morning, I attended a press conference with mayors from across the United States and Canada to talk about just that issue. And to nail the point home, personally, just the other day, no kidding, this just happened to be a coincidence. I was going to make a snack for my wife. I got an apple and I was going to, you know, cut it up for her and get her some peanut butter. And I looked down to peel the sticker off the apple. And what was on the sticker? It said Canada.
Canada.
Canada. So, like, I don't think people really understand how this is going to impact us, although we should, because Kamala Harris spent so many weeks warning us exactly what would happen if Donald Trump was to be elected president. And now we're going to find out, unfortunately.
This is City of Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson also giving us a reminder about what actual masculinity looks like. And that means cutting up an apple and giving your wife some peanut butter because she needs a snack during her busy work day, which may include helping with the kids and all of those good things. Yeah. Again, positive masculinity being modeled by Milwaukee's very own mayor. Let's talk about Senator Cory Booker. I didn't know that this was happening until it started to happen on Monday evening. No question that Senator Booker is trying to breathe life, to give energy back to Democrats, to remind us all that we have a responsibility to use whatever our platform is to speak up and to speak out if we think our elected leaders are doing things that don't align with our values or aren't serving our families and communities best. It also seems to me no accident that he did so that his speech would be concluding on Tuesday as these votes were being counted. Is this a turning point for the Democratic resistance? And I mean that both capital D, the Democratic Party, but also small d, the Democratic resistance to billionaires buying elections in this country.
I think the answer to that is yes. And yes, in both cases, for the Democratic Party and for democracy as it stands. I want to applaud Senator Booker for standing up for a day and change in order to make sure that he shines a light, shines a bright light on the damage that's being inflicted, not just on our economy, but what's the damage that's been inflicted on our democracy, the damage that's being inflicted on our partners, on our allies that have been at the side of the United States literally for centuries in so many different facets, shining a light on the damage that's happening to families, not just in Wisconsin, but across the United States, all directly due to the policy decisions of Donald Trump and his administration. We need more Democrats to do exactly what Senator Booker is doing, has been doing. I think what he did is really a shot in the arm for the party. And when that happens, I think it's going to be a good thing for democracy overall.
Folks, you're listening to Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Chevy, as a black man, the historical moment of what Senator Booker did yesterday was not lost on most of us who have a bit of respect and knowledge of history. He broke the record set many, many moons ago by racist, segregationist, disgraced Senator Strom Thurmond, who rose to speak for over 24 hours. Again, that record broken by Senator Booker in opposition to the Civil Rights Act to prevent a man that shares your race, like Senator Booker, from standing and doing exactly what he was doing yesterday. On a personal level, Mr. Mayor, what did that mean for you as a black elected official, as the first elected black mayor of the city of Milwaukee?
I know certainly that Senator Booker's filibuster, his comments on the Senate floor the other day eclipsed Senator Thurmond's record that was held for so many years here in our country. I was proud of Senator Booker. I think really what it does, though, is remind me of what Joe Biden said. When he thinks about America, he can sum it up in one single word, and that's possibilities. You think back to Senator Thurmond's time, you wouldn't be able to think that there'd be a black man to be able to hold a seat on the Senate and also to break that filibuster record. Yet Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, a black man, was able to do that. And I was immensely proud, not just as mayor, but as an African-American and as an American.
Yes.
Senator Booker served us all and made us all proud.
He eclipsed Senator Thurmond, not just in length of time, but in the content and message of possibility of what this country's highest ideals can mean for each and every one of us, no matter what zip code, race, nationality, gender, sexual identity, or any of our other descriptive characteristics that define us as individuals. He eclipsed them, and that, in my opinion, more important way. We're going to talk to another amazing leader right here from our great state. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson joins us after these brief messages. You're going to want to keep it locked right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with more in just a moment. May the last one burn into flame.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wisconsin showing real love for both itself and democracy and each and every one of you, and sending Elon Musk, Donald Trump, and the rest of the billionaire class an unequivocally clear message. Wisconsin cannot be bought. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a very special guest sticking around for one last segment. It's the city of Milwaukee's fabulous mayor, Cavalier Johnson. Again, thanks for sharing your day with us. It's a big day. We were also talking about Senator Booker's address on the Senate floor, his history making in so many ways. He used a couple of phrases during his address, Mayor Johnson, that I wanted to ask you about and ask what you're hearing from your constituents and folks across the state, from other mayors. Senator Booker described us as having our moral moment as a country and as a democracy. He went further and he said these aren't questions any longer about right and left, but they are questions about right and wrong. Do we love our neighbors as we love ourselves? Do we stand up for kindness, respect? Are we going to do the right thing? Mayor Johnson, what are you hearing from your constituents and from other leaders like yourself from across the country? Not just about, hey, I might be worried about my own benefits or the impacts on my family. Are you hearing from people that this moral moment is becoming clearer to them, that the call to action is indeed a moral one?
Yeah, I certainly am, from leaders across the country that I have the opportunity to meet with and spend a considerable amount of time with my own constituents when I'm out in the city or out at events. People are grappling with what America is, what America should be, what their position in our country is right now. And it shouldn't be that way. I mean, this country, the United States, has prided itself, you know, for so long on being a melting pot. E pluribus unum, right? Out of many, one. You think about the poem that rests at the feet of the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, give me your huddled, give me your masses yearning to breathe free. I hold the lamp by the golden door. That's what America has been about historically. But now, over the course of the last 10 years or so, all those things are put up to question. But I think what Senator Booker was doing in his statement the other day, and I think that what Americans are waking up and realizing, is that we got to get back to our values. We got to understand and remember, just like Joe Biden used to say, who we are. We're the United States of America. There's nothing that's beyond our capacity if we do them together. And that's been America's story. It's about what we can do together. That's what we have to remember.
Folks, again, that's City of Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson joining us this afternoon to kick off a victory celebration as Susan Crawford defeated Brad Schimmel, as Jill Underly defeated Brittany Kinzer yesterday. Let's talk a little bit about the moment that we're having, the message that women voters are sending. The image of seeing Judge Janet Protasiewicz, I should say Justice Janet Protasiewicz, soon to be Justice Susan Crawford, Justice Rebecca Dallet, Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, Justice Jill Karofsky, all standing behind Susan Crawford yesterday, and the message that women voters are sending to people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump, who seem to be embracing this oppressive kind of women, we don't want to hear from you anymore approach to politics. What do you think this moment means for women and people that care about women in the state of Wisconsin, but also more broadly, Mr. Mayor?
Oh, I think it sends a very powerful, powerful message. You just mentioned those judges on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, those justices who will be in a position, not just now, but in the years to come, to make decisions that affect women. And I think it's important for women to be in those spaces. It's important for women to have the opportunity, to have the ability to decide what happens with their own bodies, what happens in the communities in which they live. Women's voices are rising, and they soundly rejected again the influence of Donald Trump and Elon Musk. And I think that's a positive, positive thing. So again, I'm very happy about Justice-elect Crawford's victory. I'm glad that she'll be joining the other justices on Wisconsin's Supreme Court that you just mentioned. There's a lot of work for us to do to make sure that women's voices continue to rise here in the state of Wisconsin and across the United States.
A question about strategy moving forward. There's no question that cities like Milwaukee will be in Donald Trump's crosshairs in the coming years of his administration. How do you propose to navigate that? How are you working with the Common Council? How are you working with other elected leaders within the state, the governor's office, with the National Council of Mayors? What's the strategy to help push back and resist without, frankly, alienating or antagonizing? It's a very difficult tightrope, it seems to me.
a tight rope that we've come familiar in Milwaukee with walking, considering the makeup of our legislature. Look, I hope that folks have been able to see that I'm willing to work with anybody in order to advance the interests of the city of Milwaukee. And that remains the case with the president and his administration, too, because, quite frankly, the city of Milwaukee relies on the federal government. Our health department receives a significant amount of funding from federal sources. So I want to maintain those relationships. Our Community Development Block Grants Administration receives a ton of money from the federal government. Our waterworks and infrastructure projects, they receive a ton of money from the federal government. So it's important in order to make sure we retain those relationships. My strategy has been this: like, I'm not going to engage with the president when he's out, you know, stoking these culture wars that Republicans have said that they dislike and hate and, you know, shouldn't happen. He certainly is engaging in that. I'm not going to engage with him when he says, you know, Gulf of America. I'm still going to call it the Gulf of Mexico. Everybody is, you know, whatever. But when it comes to, you know, his administration hurting people, that's when I'll stand up. That's when I think other mayors will stand up. And I think it's important that all of us don't just go to the wayside, that we actually stand up when he's actually implementing policies that hurt actual people in our communities across this city, this state, and this country.
Thanks so much, Mr. Cavalier Johnson, mayor of the city of Milwaukee. You know, my phone is always open to you, sir. If we need to gear up for another battle, I'm here for it. Thanks so much, Mr. Mayor. Folks are going to want to keep it locked. We continue to take your impressions and talk more about this historic election and Senator Booker's historic address. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I take your calls and texts next. The music might be chill, but my enthusiasm is not. My name's Maggie Dawn. We are celebrating Judge, now soon to be Justice, Susan Crawford's astounding whooping of Brad Schimel yesterday, as well as Jill Underley's victory over what I'm just going to say was an unqualified, inarticulate candidate, Brittany Kinzer. Big wins. Sad to see the constitutional amendment get adopted yesterday. That's going to make it harder for people to vote in this state ultimately, but highly expected because, again, Republicans word those constitutional amendments in a way that make them sound very reasonable and appealing and belie many of the consequences. I also think in a lot of ways, the voter ID, trying to enshrine that in our state's constitution, that is a political battle whose ship, in many ways, at least in my opinion, has sailed already. So let's celebrate the wins. We have to also point out the outcomes in Florida, I think, are absolutely overwhelming. And I think the messages from the Wisconsin election and the two House races, the special elections in Florida, are slightly different. And I want to talk about those. Then I want to hear from all of you. What are your reactions? Did you break out in tears of joy? I know I did. 855-752-4842, 855-75-Wisconsin, 75-CIVIC for Wisconsin, I'll say. Join us, join this conversation. We're going to take some of those but in just a moment. But I wanted to, again, remind us of these outcomes in Florida. I want to tell you what I think is the difference in the message that we can take from both the Wisconsin Supreme Court and those Florida special election House races. Those two elections in Florida were for the seats formerly held by Signalgate, Mr. Gmail for National Security Secrets, Mike Walls, who's now the National Security Advisor. It was his House seat, as well as the creep otherwise known as Matt Gaetz. What happened to his face, Matt Gaetz? That guy. Yeah. Hopefully we don't have to hear from him ever again. Those were the two House seats up in Florida. These are districts that Donald Trump won by over 30 percentage points in 2024. These are as red as you can get. The punditry calls them ruby red districts. again, in Gates's district, Trump took it by 32 points. Unbelievable. Gates had won it by over 30 points against his prior Democratic opponent. Holy cow. They lost 17 points. The Republican in Gates' district, a guy by the name of Petronas, he only won by 15 percentage points. Ouch. That is a huge backslide. That district shouldn't have been in any question for Republicans, and it was. In the 6th district in Central Florida, again, Walz, then Congressman Mike Walz, now Mr. Signalgate, Mr. I use Gmail to communicate national security secrets as the national security advisor. Yeah, that guy, he had won his seat in the last regular election cycle by 33 points. The Republican beat the Democrat in that 6th district in Central Florida only by about 14 points. Those are historic backslides in ruby red Republican districts. Here is the difference in message and in meaning, at least in my opinion, that we can take from these. I think the Wisconsin election was in many ways a very clear repudiation of billionaire backed candidates, where the corruption is out loud in front. It was a repudiation of billionaires like Donald Trump, as well as billionaire overlords like Elon Musk. I'm going to talk about the fact that after the election last night, apparently Donald Trump wants a little less to do with Elon Musk, wants him to take maybe a back seat. Boy, that was fast. That is what I get from the Wisconsin election. When I look at the two Florida House seats, I see something different. What I see there is a message coming from conservatives, coming from Trump voters, not the extreme MAGAs, but folks that vote for Trump, folks that vote for Republicans consistently, saying, get your filthy hands off of my Social Security benefits. Stop hurting veterans. I care about Medicare and Medicaid. They are discovering, meaning the MAGAs are discovering, that, yeah, the third rail of politics is still Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the VA. That, to me, is the message. Proceed with caution. Let's see if Donald Trump heeds those warning signs. He can distance himself and try to, you know, oh, I'm not really being, you know, manipulated and controlled by Elon Musk. He can try to do that. But if the MAGA movement continues to attack the very benefits that millions upon millions upon millions of Americans rely on to stay alive, that, I think, might be the unraveling of what is the cruelty of chaos and incompetence. So watch this space, folks. Now I want to hear from you all, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got L.A. Tom on the line. Hey, Tom, how you doing? It's a day of celebration, my friend.
Hey, Maggie, it most certainly is. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and Wisconsin voters really showed that yesterday. I want to bring up what I brought up yesterday, though, and, you know, it's a real problem in this country, and I think it's one of the reasons why Wisconsinites voted the way that they did. We have a real problem with money in politics through Citizens United and the conservative Supreme Court decision of Citizens United, which basically opened the floodgates for legal bribery in this country. And I don't understand. I mean, I would think this would be an area where we could find common ground with anybody, Republicans, Democrats, yes, Independents, about how money in politics needs to go away. But I keep on hearing people say, well, it's impossible that it can go away. I don't believe that, because I believe that if we all have a common thing, if I was running for office right now, I would run strictly on getting money out of politics. And I want to know, you know, when people like Mandela Barnes, was going to ask him yesterday, you know, when they lose their elections and stuff and they see how much money they had to actually, you know, come up with in order to run for office, doesn't it make them just want to become, warriors or democracy warriors for getting money out of politics? Because I know myself, I'm not donating anymore to their emails and the text and the, phone calls and all that stuff anymore. I am a person that I don't want to be a part of that problem. And I want to hear not people say, hey, I don't take corporate PAC money. I don't take that. I want to hear we need to get money completely out of politics and move to a public funding of campaigns.
Tom, I couldn't agree with you anymore. What it's going to take is a constitutional amendment. Folks, what we have seen since 1976, which was the year that Buckley v. Vallejo was decided, I'm not going to go through the case, but it was the first time that the Supreme Court indicated that, yeah, there's going to be limits on whether or not we can regulate money in politics. Dot, dot, dot. Citizens United in 2011, I believe. What we have through those two cases is the legalization of corruption in politics. Politicians can be bought. Not all of them are bought and sold, but every single damn one of them under our current corrupt system has to raise a ton of money. What that does is incentivize billionaire overlords like Elon Musk to throw hundreds of millions of dollars into campaigns. If the billionaire class can do that, the rest of us are very much at an enormous, sometimes insurmountable disadvantage. I don't care who you are. I hate money in politics. It damn well can be regulated. And we, the people, as our friend Tom from LA says, we need to demand that of our elected officials. It's going to take a constitutional amendment to cure what ails us as a country. Everyone can get behind this. I hate money in politics. It is a shame. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. If you are a new caller, a woman, a conservative, a vet, please let Cal, who's on the board, know you're going to go to the front of the line. We got one such new caller here. Eric from Milwaukee, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, my friend?
Hi, thanks. Well, I'm happy with the results. I think we're just so far away from things like McCain-Feingold, where they were taking money out. I hope that happens someday, but I just don't think that we can get by without making contributions to candidates that we can support. My hope for the new Supreme Court Justice Crawford is that she becomes the kind of center-left Brian Hagedorn. Maybe not just, an ideologue one way or the other, but someone that will look at cases. I never voted for Brian Hagedorn, but I have some grudging respect for what he's done. And I think he may be one of the happiest people that she got elected because it takes him off the hot seat of having to vote his conscience every once in a while.
Eric, great comments. Please call again. My friend will get you right on. I agree with absolutely everything that you have said. What I want from the Supreme Court justices, be they more conservative or liberal justices, is to tone down the rhetoric. Focus on the law. Please don't be an already baked cake. Please step away from the partisanship. You do not owe any party or cause your support in a case. View the case on the merits. Be brave enough to potentially tick off your supporters if you know that the case merits straying from your liberal support base or your conservative support base. I too share with Eric a grudging respect for Brian Hagedorn. Brian Hagedorn, let's all remember, was the one guy that stood between us and undoing hundreds of thousands of votes in 2020. He was the one vote that helped preserve our democratic process here in the state of Wisconsin. Kudos to you, Brian Hagedorn. Let every justice take their oath seriously and embrace their independence. View the case, apply the law to those facts. Do not predetermine outcomes. Wisconsin deserves better than that. Dick from Madison, you're up next. What do you have to say this afternoon, sir?
Well, how could it not be better than last night, Maggie? I mean, I said it this morning, and I'll say it again. My first thoughts were game on. Cory Booker was fantastic, too. I mean,
yes.
That was so unbelievable what he did. And then people talking about, well, you know, Ted Cruz did that. Well, he didn't do it for near as long. And then he sat there and read Dr. Seuss books.
Yep.
Virtually everything Cory Booker said had meaning instead of that clown Cruz. To even compare the two, is, you know, it's just not even possible in my
I agree. Ted Cruz was standing up basically to tick off his own party. It was a completely meaningless act, and it was not eloquent. It was not a speech from the heart. It was just Ted Cruz being Ted Cruz, which is basically about as unlikable as you can possibly get. I challenge anyone to listen to what Cory Booker said and say, I don't find some pieces of that that I agree with. I challenge anyone. I don't care what party you think you belong to or whom you may have voted for in the past. Take a listen to what that man had to say. It's incredibly, incredibly powerful. We do have some of those cuts. I want to let everybody get their say this afternoon before I use the sound that we've got, because we've got tomorrow and Friday to keep talking about the big V-Day here for democracy and Wisconsinites. Karen from Middleton, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say this afternoon, my friend?
Hey, Maggie, I'm just so proud of our Democrats these last few days. I mean, seriously, and last night was so good, and I'm just so tired of being afraid. My Social Security pays my rent. I've worked my rear end off to get to a place where I can be independent, and I'm just a crying shame I'm not the only one, Maggie.
Karen, sorry, I had to cut you off. Don't be afraid, Karen. Be activated. Your voice matters. It mattered yesterday. It matters today here on this show. We do this together for one another. It is our moral moment. It ain't about right and left. It's about right and wrong. This great conversation continues on the other side. We're going to take care of some business real quick. We'll be right back with each and every one of your texts and calls. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're taking a victory lap today. It was a good day for Wisconsin yesterday. A great day. I was brought to tears a number of times yesterday afternoon. First, as Senator Booker broke the record for the longest speech in Senate history, decimating the racist Strom Thurmond's abomination that was the record before him. When Strom Thurmond stood to oppose the Civil Rights Act, you will remember this phrase, segregation now, segregation forever. That is what Strom Thurmond said 60 plus years ago in opposition when he filibustered the Civil Rights Act on the Senate floor. What a disgrace to the Senate in this country. Completely obliterated, eclipsed, not just in time, but in content, meaning, import, and meeting the moment in an incredible way with Senator Booker's address. Brought me to tears as he blasted through that record, as well as when the election results were announced less than an hour after polls closed in Wisconsin. So proud of each and every one of us for doing what is right, to turning back our billionaire overlords and saying, we're going to do what's right here in Wisconsin. Bravo to Wisconsin. In addition, the Brewers finally chalking up a win, thank goodness, yesterday, beating, let's see, was it? It's the Royals yesterday, 5-0. The Bucks winning, too. It was just a series of good news for Wisconsin. Join our conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Wanted to give some love to Dale from Wausau. Let's see, other texters and callers we've got on the line. Sherry from Horicon, hello. Elon Musk also tweeting today, I guess Xing today, whatever it's called, said, quote, I expected to lose, but there is value to losing a piece for positional gain. the musky version of maybe you lose a battle but win the war. Whatever, dude. That's 26 mil. You won't get back. Cha-ching! We'll take it. Let's go to Kurt from Madison on the phone lines. Kurt, hello. Happy Victory Day, my friend. What do you have to say?
Oh, yeah. It was exciting. Very exciting. You know, I watched her debate twice. I recorded it and then watched it again. And by the time I finished watching it the second time, I was convinced that she had this because she commanded control of that entire debate, asserted herself. And I was so happy to see how when he said something that was, you know,
nonsense, yeah,
that she immediately went after him. And I want to see that from a lot of other Democrats, because that's how you do it.
Yeah, it's I couldn't agree with you more. I felt the same way about Brittany Kinzer and Jill Underly. Listen, I have seen Brad Schimmel lawyer. I have seen him as a judge. I've been in meetings with the guy in my prior role. This dude ain't a Mensa member. Just forget all of the politics. I always want like the most skilled person for these jobs. Especially back when the nonpartisan elections actually were nonpartisan. That wasn't Brad Schimmel under any even like handicapped assessment of his skills as a jurist or a lawyer. The guy can't read basic state statutes correctly. When I would hear Jill Underly get interviewed and I would hear Brittany Kinzer get interviewed, by the way, I asked her a number of times to come on this fine program and do an interview. No such luck. Might it be because I would have given her a hard time? I don't know. You decide. But here's the reality. When you listen to Jill Underly and you listen to Brittany Kinzer talk, Brittany Kinzer sounded like fluff. Like she didn't really have an idea. That's not what Jill Underly sounded like. That was a learned professional. Maybe not the most compelling person, but this was someone who knew her stuff and had a viewpoint that she could clearly articulate. Competency has to matter. We're seeing the cruelty of incompetence all across federal government. Incompetence is cruel, and Wisconsinites, Americans always deserve better than that. Cam from Appleton, you're up next. What do you have to say, my friend?
Welcome back, Maggie. Last night I watched the Cory Booker bit, and I'm glad to hear that you even had teared up a bit too, because like, I mean, I'm a pretty sensitive guy. I teared up and then I teared up again, realizing, oh crap, he hasn't even been able to eat. He hasn't been able to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And then second, Elon, we can't lose targeting on him because he is slinking away right now.
Yes.
And Trump is feigning separation from him. They put hard drives that they took from their own they purchased themselves that were not government approved and slotted them into our systems and pulled data, and we don't know where that is.
Yep. We got to keep the target straight on Elon. Of course, Donald Trump trying to pivot, put some faux distance between him and his billionaire puppeteer. All that's garbage. We need to hold Elon Musk and Donald Trump accountable. Without Donald Trump being a hapless, do-nothing chaos agent who hires incompetent people that have no business running cabinet-level agencies, absent that, we don't have the Elon Musk problem. Absent Buckley v. Vallejo and Citizens United, we don't have the Elon problem. It's high time we stand up and say we want competence back in government, and we will vote for those who demonstrate competence, not those who engage in performative cruelty, who end up hurting and killing our neighbors, friends, and citizens of the world. It is our moral moment. It ain't about right and left. It is about right and wrong. We're going to take care of a little bit of business. And then I'm going to be joined by three incredible Democratic female leaders from red counties. You've heard from them before. I can't wait to celebrate V-Day with these three fine females. After the top of the hour, you've got news, weather, and sports. And then I'll be back with these great friends here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.